what we're going to talk about today is there a prohibition not only on a person to do melacha on Shabbos, but also on everything that belongs to me? Do we assume that this idea of Shabbos means there has to be a complete halt and rest of not only individuals, not only human beings, but also everything that belongs to them as well? So let's begin with the Mishnah and Masechah Shabbos, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara talk about this issue, and you'll see how relevant it is as we continue on in the Shir to many different areas that we confront every single Shabbos. For example, Shabbos clocks, dishwashers, vacuum cleaners, washing machines, all kinds of different things that actually are a very, very relevant part of this discussion. So let's begin with the words in the Mishnah. Mishnah writes, a machlokes, a dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai yomrim, Beis Shammai is of the opinion, ein shorin diyo v'samimanim v'karshinim, ela kedei sheyashuru mi ba'od yom. Beis Shammai says that when you have a article of clothing that you're trying to dye a certain color, so it has to sit in the dye for a certain amount of time, and then the dye will set in. So Beis Shammai says, if you're going to do that on Friday, you have to make sure that it sat in the dye for long enough that it should be able to actually get the color from the dye, whatever that's called, from the dye. However, Beis Hillel matir, Beis Hillel says, what do you mean? I can put in a white article of clothing before Shabbos begins, 2 minutes before Shabbos, even though it's going to take 10 hours for it to set into the clothing, not a problem. Beis Hillel says, the whole system was already in motion before Shabbos began, so therefore it would not be a problem at all. Beis Shammai omer, Beis Shammai say, in person mitzudos chayev ha'ofos v'dagim, ela kadei sheyatzudim miba'od yom. Let's say I am a hunter, and I like to catch animals. So I'm not allowed to put out the traps to catch an animal unless there was enough time that an animal could have actually been caught before Shabbos began. But to put out a trap 2 minutes before Shabbos, when there's no possibility that anything could have happened before Shabbos began, that would certainly be problematic. And Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel says, no, since you put the traps out before Shabbos, and on Shabbos itself you're actually not doing anything, or the whole system is already in motion from before Shabbos actually set in, there would be no problem at all. Says the Gemara. The Gemara now expands this discussion to another case, Tana Rabbanan. Let's see together, number bays. Poskim mayin legina. So I have a big field, and I have to figure out how am I going to water the field. So what do? You make an irrigation system. How does the irrigation system work? I take a bucket of water, I pour it into the irrigation system, and it slowly makes its way around the entire field. Says the Gemara, poskim mayin legina erev Shabbos im chashecha. Am I allowed to turn the spigot on right before Shabbos and allow it to go on its own through the entire irrigation system after Shabbos begins? Fine, whatever. The other cases are not really so important. But the first case is I'm allowed to turn on the sprinkler before Shabbos when I know that that water is basically going to, throughout the duration of Shabbos, it's going to be going in and out of the irrigation canal that I've created in order to water all of the plants in my field. The Gemara says that would be a direct correlation to the cases that were mentioned in the Mishnah that we just described. Now, what exactly is the crux of the disagreement here? What are they disputing, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? And the Gemara comes to the conclusion that what they're fighting about is there a prohibition of Shvisas Kelim B'Shabbos? Do we say the same way that a person, that a human being, that a Jew has to make sure that they don't do any activity on Shabbos that is prohibited, so too all the things that belong to me are also not allowed to do any prohibited activity on Shabbos. That is what they're arguing about. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that the Torah says, Lo sasa ko melacha, ata uvincha uvitecha, avdecha ve'amascha ve'amtecha ve'gercha asher b'sharecha. What does the Torah say? This week's parasha on the Aseret HaDibros, we're told, you're not allowed to do any work on Shabbos, not only you, your animals are not allowed to do work on Shabbos. Your young children are not allowed to do work on Shabbos. Not in that order, but, right? Nobody is allowed to do work under my auspices. And even for me to give my animal to a non-Jew to do work on Shabbos on my behalf is also not permissible. So the same way that my animal is not allowed to do work, so too, Beis Shammai says, my utensils are not allowed to do work either. It's a direct parallel to what the Torah describes. And Beis Hillel is of the opinion, no, the Torah only says that my animals are not allowed to do work. That would not have any carryover to any of these items that we are describing. That is the dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. How do we paskin? We adopt the position of Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel is of the opinion that there is no prohibition of shvisas kelim on Shabbos. There is no expectation that my utensils are going to keep Shabbos. So therefore, if I would set up a system before Shabbos like the Mishnah describes, I put out a trap before Shabbos, and then on Shabbos everything actually happens by itself, that would not be a prohibition of Shabbos, even though it's happening under my watch, even though it's happening with my utensils, with my traps. Or for example, if like we said, you set up the irrigation system, I have the water starting to go through the field, but I know that through the duration of Shabbos it's going to continue down that path, Beis Hillel say it's not a problem at all, and that is the way we paskin lehalacha. Let's see in the Rambam, number Gimel. The Rambam in the third parak of Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Aleph, writes as follows. Mutar lahaskol melacha be'erev Shabbos. I'm allowed to begin to do an activity on Erev Shabbos. Afal pi shehi nigmeres me'aleha b'Shabbos. Even though I know from the outset, when I set up the system to do that activity, I know that it's going to continue to do it throughout the duration of Shabbos. It's not all finished before Shabbos begins. I'm allowed to do that. Why? Explains the Rambam. Shalom neser aleinu lasas melacha ela bi'itzumo shel yom. I'm only prohibited from doing a malacha, from doing an activity on Shabbos, when I am doing the activity on Shabbos. But here, I did all the activity before Shabbos. The outcome, the result of what I did before Shabbos is going to happen over the duration of the few hours of Shabbos, but everything was set in motion beforehand, and therefore, the Rambam is of the opinion, this is quoted also in the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Nun Beis, that there would be no prohibition of having my utensils do malacha on Shabbos as long as I was not the one who did anything actively on Shabbos itself. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says there is a limitation that we need to clarify when it comes to this whole discussion. Shulchan Aruch says, let's say I have a merchatz. So we're not familiar with this today, but they used to have bathhouses, which were a public bathhouse that was owned by some individual or some company, and everybody would come in and use the bathhouse and then go home. Not everybody was able to afford their own bathing equipment. So they went to a communal bathhouse. Says the Gemara, the communal bathhouse was used by Jews and non-Jews alike. So on Shabbos, there were plenty of non-Jews who used to have to go bathe themselves as well. So am I allowed to keep open? Am I allowed to keep the bathhouse open on Shabbos or not? What would you say? Why not? I pay a monthly membership fee, right? I have a gym. I own a gym. I have all kinds of equipment. People don't pay to come today. They pay an annual fee. So why can't I leave the gym open on Shabbos? Awkward silence, right? Talk about the gym, right? What's the problem with the gym? Right? But it's a non-Jew who's doing that. There's no prohibition for the non-Jew to do it. So why am I not allowed to have it? The only problem I would say with having my gym open on Shabbos is all the items, all of the recreational, facilities, machines that I have are going to be doing work on Shabbos. And they all belong to me. But we just said the bottom line of the Gemara is that there's no prohibition of Shvisas Kelim. There's no problem for utensils, for items, that machines that belong to me to be doing work on Shabbos. So what's the problem? Says the Shulchan Aruch. Let's read it together. Here in number Dalet, a very strange halacha. Merchat shel ha-Yehudi. If I have a bathhouse that says, Schechter's gym, Schechter's bathhouse, and it's clear that it belongs to me, everybody knows who I am, kivan sheshem Yehudi alav, since it says my name on it, asur lahaskir l'goy. I'm not allowed to have it open on Shabbos. Why? Because everyone's going to say that I'm running a business on Shabbos. While it's true, so this is the limitation that the Shulchan Aruch makes to the halacha that the Gemara teaches us. The Gemara says, my machines are allowed to do work on Shabbos, no problem. However, if people are going to be led to the mistaken impression that I'm running a business on Shabbos because it's so clear and obvious to all of them that this belongs to me, then that would be problematic because of what we refer to as Marasa Ayin. Marasa Ayin means when people see that something is happening and they're going to have the mistaken impression from what they're noticing, I have to be concerned about that. So that's why this would be a problem. Say, for example, I own a taxi company in Yerushalayim, and it's called Rechavia Taxi, right? We've all seen this, Rechavia Taxi. Everybody knows that that's owned by a Jew. Now, there happen to be some Arab drivers who wanted to work on Shabbos and use the cars to go drive customers who are not Jewish, right? We're not talking about where they're going to drive Chilonim, and it's a question about Chilo Shabbos and Lifnei Iver. They're going to go to the non-Jewish neighborhoods and drive. So am I allowed to do that Am I allowed to give them the taxi? The answer probably is no. Why? Because it says on it, like the Shulchan Aruch writes, it says, Moniot Rechavia. And everybody knows that that is owned by a Jew. And that being the case, the Shulchan Aruch says, although it's true that my car would be allowed to be driven on Shabbos, shouldn't be a problem at all, but when there's a sign on the car that says, this belongs to a Jewish person, that would be problematic because someone is going to mistakenly think that I'm running a business on Shabbos. So that is the limitation that the Shulchan Aruch gives to the halacha that is described here in the Gemara. So there's a question in the back of the room. Right? You had a question? Answered it?
Yeah.
Okay. Rihanna, you had a question also? Good? Yes, question.
Is there a limitation outside of Maraz?
Oh, so let's see. So are there any other limitations when it comes to this halacha? That's what we're going to talk about for the rest of the shiur. So you'll say, how often do we have an irrigation system like is described and outlined in the Gemara here where we have to be concerned that I set it up before Shabbos, and I would say, what's the problem? It's fine. But this really never comes up. But the answer is, it really does come up every Shabbos. Because, think about a Shabbos clock. What is a Shabbos clock? Right? You familiar with a Shabbos clock? Yeah?
We set it before, and then the alarm goes up on Shabbos, but it like automatically turns off.
Correct. So you have a whole system that is set up in place before Shabbos begins. And you put the pins in a certain place that the light should go on at this time, the light should go off at that time, the fan should go on at this time or go off at that time. So that is exactly a description of what we're talking about, right? So this became a major, major discussion. Moshe Feinstein has a long tshuva to discuss this issue about Shabbos clocks and whether or not we should allow it on Shabbos. Now, at face value, given what we know, what would you say? Shabbos clocks should not be a problem at all. Why shouldn't Shabbos clocks be a problem? Because all that's happening is my machines are going on, but the whole system was set up before Shabbos, so it shouldn't be a problem. Now, Rav Moshe takes major issue with this. Rav Moshe Feinstein is not okay with it. Because Rav Moshe points out, there's a major distinction between the case that the Gemara describes and the case of a Shabbos clock. Can we figure out what the difference is? What's the difference? Yeah. Okay, is there another difference? Yeah. Okay, let's take Marasayan out. Is there another more fundamental distinction in the case, in the way the Gemara describes the case, yeah?
Like that one, like it's turning all before Shabbos, which is going to turn on Shabbos.
Correct. Rav Moshe says they're not similar at all. In that case of the Gemara, post-Gemayim Legino, what was the case? The case is, I poured all the water into the irrigation system, and now, over the course of Shabbos, it's going to spread itself out and do its job. But everything was there and running and functioning before Shabbos began. And the system was already in motion. But here, Rav Moshe says, my lights are off, my fan is off, my air conditioner is off. And the whole system is going to turn on and begin on Shabbos. That's not the same at all. Rav Moshe says maybe the Gemara would never have allowed that. That's very different than the original case that the Gemara describes. And secondly, Rav Moshe says, if we're going to say that a Shabbos clock is basically able to circumvent all the potential issues of Shabbos, then he says, potentially, I can have a business running the entire Shabbos. I have a big factory where we produce potato chips or we make popcorn, and we're going to have the factory running on Shabbos and everything's going to do whatever it's supposed to do because everything's on a Shabbos clock. So he says, is it possible that we are able to create a system where the Torah would allow me to have all of my business functioning normally on Shabbos just because I set up a system of a Shabbos clock? That can't be. Rav Moshe says we have a concept called Zilzil Shabbos, which means this is not befitting behavior for Shabbos. So it wouldn't make sense to have my business running on Shabbos, even though technically I figured out how to get around the system and how to make sure I don't do anything wrong in the process. But still, Rav Moshe says it's untenable to imagine that this is something that would be an acceptable possibility, right? So that's where Rav Moshe has a major, major problem with considering the Shabbos clock. Beyond that, Rav Moshe says, a very surprising statement, but Rav Moshe is of the opinion where he says that if the Tanoim and the Amoraim were alive today, he says there's no way they would have ever permitted this. There's no way they would have allowed it. Now, how does he know? He doesn't know, but he's just saying, in his assumption, that's what he thinks. Why? He says, because we have a prohibition of Shabbos of Amir Lenachri, which means I'm not allowed to tell a non-Jew to do work for me on Shabbos. Why not? A number of reasons given in the Rishonim why I'm not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do work for me on Shabbos. But one of them is because if we're going to allow a non-Jew to do work for us on Shabbos, then we can have everything going on around us, all the malacha. everything is able to happen. And what kind of atmosphere of Shabbos is that going to be? So therefore, says Rav Moshe, it's impossible to imagine that this is an acceptable solution. How could it be that we would allow someone to use a Shabbos clock on Shabbos when Chazal, in the days of the Gemara, said you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do work for you on Shabbos? Then certainly I'm not allowed to ask my own Shabbos clock to do work for me on Shabbos. So that's what he says. And he thinks that Ein lecha zilusa de Shabbos yosem izeh, this is a terrible zilzal of Shabbos. It's a terrible desecration of Shabbos. And he's of the opinion that we should not be able to use Shabbos clocks. Now, Rav Moshe says, for some reason, everybody already came to the conclusion that we're allowed to have Shabbos clock to turn on the lights and turn the lights off. He says, I'm not exactly sure why that became the practice, but that is standard already. So therefore, Rav Moshe says, when it comes to that, we would allow it. Obviously, there are many who disagree with Rav Moshe and feel Shabbos clocks are okay. Why? Because they feel a Shabbos clock is a direct parallel to what the Gemara describes here. The Gemara here tells us that using a system that is set up in motion before Shabbos, everything's fine as long as I do nothing on Shabbos. That's exactly what a Shabbos clock is. So this is a major point of dispute. Again, as we said, Rav Moshe Feinstein is of the opinion that you should not use a Shabbos clock beyond the few things that everybody in the world uses a Shabbos clock for. But others are of the opinion that a Shabbos clock is exactly what's described in the Gemara, and there really is no concern using a Shabbos clock at all. Okay, so that's with regard to that. Yeah?
What are the other things that Rav Moshe puts in the category of light?
Let me see. Rav Moshe in the end of the tshuva. Let me just read it 1 second. He says, "Aval al kopanim mashakvar nagu lahamid al yidei moras shaos v'chabos haneres de elektri shehudlaku." He says, "This that we have a system that's set up for the lights. I didn't put it on here. I'm sorry. V'gam shiachzur lehidale gachakach b'sof hayom. The lights go on. The lights go off." He says that would be something that would be permissible in his opinion because everyone's doing that. And he says we have non-Jews coming in, turning the lights on, turning the lights off, setting up the shul in order that people should be able to daven. He says that would be okay, and that's not considered a zilzal Shabbos because everyone knows that that's what we do. However, he really does not. Avol, he ends off the tshuva by saying, "Havu de lo sif hala." We don't have a right to add on to that. Lahatir gam livshol umalachas acheros. We have no right to add on to that and to allow ourselves to do other things, which is why in Rav Moshe Feinstein's yeshiva, he didn't allow them to have an air conditioner on a Shabbos clock, which is surprising. But that's what he felt. Yeah.
So would Shabbos alarms used to just wake someone up in the morning?
We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Hold on to the Shabbos alarm in a minute. Yes. Question.
Is turning something off just being problem than turning something on according to Moshe? Let's say your oven has a setting that it will turn off after 2 hours.
Why should that be different?
Because it's more similar to a case of an initial that you're setting something in motion. And, the same way,
you're saying everything is in motion. Everything already is in motion.
Mm-hmm.
Could be. I think the discussion here is really when things turn on. Right? When things turn on. I think so. Yeah.
Would the fact that ovens that turn off that are left on a Shabbos clock and therefore aren't on for the entire duration of Shabbos? And are therefore safer.
Mm-hmm.
That being part of the discussion?
Of course. Yeah. Look, I venture to say, I don't know, by a show of hands, how many of you use Shabbos clocks in your home? So there's your answer, right? So this has become prevalent custom that people use Shabbos clocks at home, and even though Rav Moshe was very uncomfortable with it, that was in the beginning when Shabbos clocks were just getting started and he thought it was a big zilzal Shabbos. It turns out in our generation, I don't think it adds. We have plenty of other things that are a zilzal Shabbos, but I don't know that this adds to the zilzal Shabbos in our generation when, it's expected that the air conditioner goes on and off and the lights go on and off and the plata you turn off, different things. I don't know that this adds to it. However, there is a drawback to all of this that we're going to have to discuss. Yeah. I don't think that's the determining factor. What I meant to say is, I don't think that this has been a cause of zilzal Shabbos in our community. I think people are mezalzal in Shabbos plenty. I think, you know, people do many things on Shabbos that are not appropriate. But I don't know that the fact that lights go on and off is the cause for Zilzul Shabbos in our community at all. I don't maybe disagree, but I don't. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying look around. Puk Chazi, right? Look around and see what has a Shabbos clock caused our community to feel about Shabbos. So if you use a Shabbos clock to record the football game, that's Zilzul Shabbos. That's not permissible. Maybe for other reasons, as we're going to see in a minute. But outside of that, you know, to have things that are going to help enhance our Shabbos be turned on or off, again, I'm not sure. I do think it was different in the days of Rav Moshe when it was shocking in, let's say, the 1950s that some of these lights were going on and off on Shabbos. How can that be? So that was like, how is it possible? And how is an air conditioner going on and off? Now, it's just a very different set of circumstances that we have today, I think. Okay, so now let's point out what the Gemara says further about this issue. As we said, we described somebody who sets up a system where the water is going to irrigate the field throughout the duration of Shabbos. Okay, now the Mishnah, the Gemara says something which should be very surprising to all of us. The Gemara here is a number Hey. It's a Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Tana Rabbanan. So we learned in the Brisa. Listen carefully. Post Kemayim Lagino Me'erev Shabbos. As we said, you're allowed to set up the system of the water going through the field on Shabbos. Avol. What's this line? Ein nosnim chitim letoch harechayim shalmayim. So what does that mean? I'm not allowed to put the wheat into a mill, obviously before Shabbos, ela b'kidei sheyitchanu mi ba'od yom. I'm only allowed to put wheat into the mill if I know that before Shabbos begins, it's all going to get crushed in the mill. But to do it on Erev Shabbos 2 minutes before Shabbos, when I know that all the work is going to be done on Shabbos itself, that would not be allowed. Is that a problematic statement to anyone?
Yeah.
Yes, why?
Because I don't understand what's the difference.
Exactly. What's the difference? That's exactly the Gemara's question. What's the difference? Why should putting wheat in the mill before Shabbos be a problem if all these other cases are not a problem? The other cases are where I put the white piece of clothing into the dye and it's going to be setting in the entire duration of Shabbos. The Mishnah says it's fine. Why is it that when I have the irrigation system, I put the water in before Shabbos and it's going to spread out throughout the entire duration of Shabbos? Not a problem. Suddenly we come to the mill, and if you're going to put the wheat into the mill, as long as it's going to be done before Shabbos, it's fine. But if it's going to happen throughout the duration of Shabbos, that would be a problem. Why? Brianna just asked. It should be the same. What's the difference between that and all the other cases that we just described? Very excellent question. It's actually asked by the Gemara itself. So the Gemara gives two suggestions. The Gemara says one suggestion is that this line of the Gemara, when we say that you're not allowed to have the mill working on Shabbos, even though it was set up before, that's going according to Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai, if we remember correctly, Beis Shammai was of the opinion in our Mishnah that none of these activities are permissible. So the same way he says nothing else is allowed, this is also not allowed. This Gemara is not talking to the opinion that we accept. It's talking about the other opinion. That's one way to understand this line of the Gemara. The other way to understand this line of the Gemara is, no, this is even going according to Beis Hillel. And Beis Hillel is of the opinion that you're allowed to have your utensils working on Shabbos. My machinery is allowed to do all kinds of things on Shabbos. Not a problem. Why is this case different? The difference here is because it's Avsha Milsa. The Gemara says because it makes a lot of noise. When the mill is turning, it's going to make a lot of noise. And other people are going to hear. And they're going to think that there is malacha being done on Shabbos, that there's prohibited activity being done. And therefore, even Beis Hillel would agree that even though he's of the opinion that my machines are allowed to do work for me on Shabbos as long as they were set up in advance, however, if it's going to make noise and people are going to mistakenly think that there is an actual malacha going on in my house, that would be something that even Beis Hillel would agree is highly problematic. Okay, is that clear? So that, yeah.
This comes also from a Marzai perspective.
So we'll see that in a second. Let's see in a second. Hold on to that thought for a second. Now, this ends up being a major dispute in the Rishonim. Which position of the Gemara do we assume? do we say that this Gemara is according to Beis Hillel? And Beis Hillel himself is also of the opinion that if my machines are going to make noise on Shabbos, that would be a problem. Or do you say, no, this Gemara should be ignored because we don't accept this opinion at all. This is all going according to Beis Shammai, and we don't accept Beis Shammai. So this is a major dispute among the Rishonim, which trickles down to a major dispute in the Shulchan Aruch. How many Svardim do we have in the room? Okay, so this is a very, very relevant, important halacha to be aware of. The Svardim are more lenient about this than the Ashkenazim. The Shulchan Aruch says, this Gemara is according to Beis Shammai. And therefore, we can ignore the content of this Gemara. It's not relevant to the way we assume, bottom line. Shulchan Aruch says this about this case, that you'd be allowed to have your mill running on Shabbos, not a problem. As long as it was set up before, it would be no different than any of the other cases we described. It makes noise. So what? It makes noise. So, say for example, I have a vacuum cleaner that, you know, some people in their house have the vacuum cleaner, what's it called, that goes by itself?
iRobot,
right? So, the Roomba, so right? So, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
So imagine I set it up before Shabbos, and now it's just going around and vacuuming the whole house. Shulchan Aruch would say, not a problem at all. Why should that be different than any of the cases we described? However, the Rama disagrees. The Rama is the father of Ashkenazic Jewry, whose psakim we Ashkenazim generally follow. I shouldn't say we. Those of us in the room who are Ashkenazim follow his psakim. And the Rama says, this is not a mistake. This is not correct. I don't agree with the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Rama here in number Vav, Hachi Nog Lechatchila, this is the way we paskin that anything that's going to make noise on Shabbos is not allowed to be used. Miu b'makom seida yesh lahakel. Says the Rama, if there's a major loss of money, if it's an extreme situation, then you can be lenient. However, in a regular course of events, you are not allowed to have any machine working for you in your house on Shabbos when it's going to be making noise. Because in that case, since it makes noise, there is a concern. Now, as somebody very correctly pointed out, what is the concern? What am I concerned about? What's the issue? So let's see. Rashi writes there, if you look at number Zayin, Rashi says in Maseches Shabbos, Mipnei, the concern is that we have to be worried, Shemashmas Hashakol, that this machine is going to make noise, Ve'avsha Milsa, which means it's going to become very public, everyone's going to hear that there's noise coming from my house, Ve'ikazilusa, that is a zilzal Shabbos. That is a terrible desecration of Shabbos when everyone's going to hear that there are machines running in my house on Shabbos. That's what Rashi seems to say. Okay. However, there are others who write that they have a different concern. The Sefer HaOgur, which is one of the Rishonim, writes in Amr Ches about the following case. Zug HaMakashkesh Lishos, if you have a clock that makes noise, right, a grandfather clock, so it makes noise. Asui ayidei mishkolos is called, or login. I don't know exactly what language that's in. Kedei sheyelech v'yikashkesh kol haShabbos. And every half an hour or every 15 minutes, it's going to start making noise. Hishema, he says, Hishema yesh ledamos lenosin chitin l'rechayim. He's not sure, am I allowed to have that in my house on Shabbos? Or do you say, no, that's the same as the mill. Of course, my machines are allowed to be working on Shabbos, but not when they make noise. And over here, the grandfather clock, the whole point is that it should make noise. So am I allowed to have that on Shabbos going or not? Answers the Ugger, She'ikr time of the Avsha Milsa. He says that there would not be a problem to have the grandfather clock working on Shabbos. Why? Because the whole concern of the Gemara when my machines make noise is She'yomru, that people are going to say, Rechayim shalploni nosnim b'Shabbos. People are going to mistakenly say, oh, Schechter's running his business on Shabbos. And listen out, and you hear the noise there. Everybody's going to say, his business is running on Shabbos. Disabri b'Shabbos nasim hem chitim. They're going to think, I went on Shabbos morning, and I put wheat into the mill, and that's what's making noise. That's the only reason it's going. So that's the concern of the Gemara. That's the way the Augur explains it. The problem with having noise for my machines on Shabbos is not that it is inherently a zilzal Shabbos. It's just that people are going to misinterpret what they hear, and they're going to think that there's work going on in my house on Shabbos. So, let's plug that into an alarm clock. Let's plug this into an alarm clock, like somebody just very, very astutely pointed out. What would you say about setting an alarm clock, setting your cell phone before Shabbos? Would I be allowed to do that or not? Yes. You say yes. Why?
Because it's not a, we're worried about other people finding out, or like thinking, or mistaking that it's
Okay. Yeah, what do you say?
Isn't a grandfather clock different? Because doesn't it automatically always do that once you get a grandfather clock versus the alarm clock? You're still have to set the alarm. Like, you're not going to automatically, the second you get your phone, an alarm's going to go off.
Yes. So, first of all, Rav Moshe Feinstein draws that distinction. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva, he says, everybody knows the grandfather clock, even in the old ones where you had to wind it up, everybody knows that you wind it and it goes for 5 days at a time, or it goes for a week or 2 weeks. Everybody knows that it was done before Shabbos. There's no doubt, there's no reason to be concerned there that someone's going to hear the clock and say, oh, Schefter's doing all kinds of prohibited activities in his house on Shabbos. No one's going to think that. However, he says, by an alarm clock, when is the normal time when you set an alarm for the morning? When you go to sleep. Rav Moshe says that's the normal time when most people set an alarm. Now, of course, a Sabbath observer is going to make sure to set the alarm before Shabbos. But the average person who walks by my house Shabbos morning and hears the alarm ringing is going to assume that I set the alarm and I went to sleep the night before. That was Shabbos. And therefore, Rav Moshe says he thinks that there would be reason to distinguish between the case that is outlined here of the grandfather clock and the case that we are describing in our situation of an alarm clock in my house. Because the normal way for me to set an alarm on my phone or on my alarm clock is to do it the night before as I'm going to sleep. So that's what Rav Moshe says, exactly what you're describing, that there should be a major distinction between the case that the Ramah quotes from the Rishonim and this case here. Then Rav Moshe goes further. Let's read together number 10. It says Rav Moshe as follows. Hinei, he describes when is Av Shemilsa an actual problem. Imhu kol kazeh shalo nishma ela bechedro shehu la'atzmo. If this is the kind of sound that, okay, it makes noise, but only in my little confines, only in my little room. Ein baza iser. It's not a problem at all to have that going on Shabbos. Aval nishma gam michutz mechedro. If somebody outside of my room is able to hear it as well, shenishma laharbe halanim bebeso. You're going to have other people sleeping in your house, and we're not talking about you live in a mansion. You have other people sleeping in the house, and in the next door, in the next room, they're going to be able to hear you. Kol shekein kishenishma lachutz. Certainly, if you're able to hear it outside of your bedroom or outside of your house, like a vacuum cleaner, right? That's something that people are able to hear. Aser mitzad gzeres hashmas kol denasin aschitim mitoch arechaim. So Rav Moshe says that this would be something that he believes would be very problematic, and therefore he says this is something that he feels should not be done. It's interesting when you look in the Sefer Shmirah Shabbos Kilchasa, he has a whole back and forth about this prohibition of having an alarm clock in one's house ringing on Shabbos. At first, he writes in the Shmirah Shabbos Kilchasa, not really a problem. Why is it not a problem? No, first he says it is a problem. Then later on, he says it's not a problem. Why is it not a problem? Because he says, we live in a generation now where everybody knows when I set an alarm before Shabbos, when the alarm goes off on Sunday morning, it's because I set it before Shabbos. So let's see what he says here. The tikkunim umiluim, I put it on here in particular because tikkunim umiluim means the Sefer Shmirah Shabbos Kilchasa was printed, and then later on, many years later, they made revisions and they made updates. So here's the update. The update is that many years later, nobody's concerned anymore about the alarm clocks. Let's see what he says. Kivan sha'adam achshav v'aday lomas asek bitziltzo v'lo v'rak mucha mikodem. Since everybody today knows that we set up the system before Shabbos, and we set the alarm clock before Shabbos, and we have no concern that maybe the person is doing any malacha, lachein yesh ladun l'kaf schus. Therefore, when we hear somebody's alarm clock go off on Shabbos morning, we should judge them favorably, and we should assume shehapa amon haya sagur, v'ruhu rak pasacho sobalayla, umutar afilu imat tziltzol hu b'sha kazu shebetchilas halayla haya kvar Shabbos. Therefore, he's of the opinion that we don't have to be concerned anymore that maybe somebody set the alarm clock on Shabbos, because everybody today knows that before Shabbos, we make sure to check all of our alarms and make sure they're set if we need them. And therefore, he says, the whole thing has changed today from what it was many years ago. However, when you're talking about other items in the house, say, for example, I have been to people's homes where they have an anju in the house who vacuums the floor right after the meal is done on Shabbos. So is that permissible? No, it's not permissible. But there are a few reasons why it's not permissible. Reason number one is because there's a prohibition of Amir Lenachri. You're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha for you on Shabbos. Reason number two is because even if it's an iRobot, or whatever it was called, a Roomba, which goes by itself and doesn't require me giving any instructions. It's pre-programmed, right? You can say, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, I want it to vacuum the whole house, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon after all the company leaves. So it's going to do the work by itself. Still a problem. Why is it a problem? It's a problem because it makes a lot of noise. So this would be the same. I've been asked many, many times about a dishwasher. It would be very convenient if we can set all of our plates, put them all in the dishwasher after the meal Friday night, after the meal Shabbos day, and have the dishwasher set on a timer and let it run by itself. The problem with that is, although it's true that we don't have a prohibition of shvisas kelim, although it's true that there's no problem with my items actually doing any malacha on Shabbos, there's a secondary issue. And that secondary issue is that it makes noise. What about today when we have the silent dishwashers? Anybody here has a silent dishwasher? Yeah. So I remember a friend of mine told me he got a silent dishwasher. And I said, come on, how silent could it really be? So he said, on more than one occasion, he opened it in the middle while it was going. Now, there should be some kind of protection that it shouldn't happen. What?
That shines on the floor.
That says it's going.
Yeah.
But you can potentially open it.
You have no clue.
You could potentially open it, though. There's no safety feature that...
I've never tried, but like, there were times...
And please don't try it because of me. Yeah. What?
I've opened
it. And what happens?
Water comes out.
There's no feature that, I mean, I'm just curious. They didn't create it in such a way that it's locked while it goes. But I've been told that silent dishwashers really are silent, right? The ones that are silent are really silent. That being the case, that's a major breakthrough. That's a major breakthrough. Why? Because if you're the kind of person that doesn't believe in Rav Moshe's original opinion about Shabbos clocks, which I'm not saying doesn't believe, but if you don't accept, if you accept the other opinions, first of all, you're a Sfardim. So the whole issue doesn't really matter. But even for Ashkenazim, when we're talking about somebody who uses a Shabbos clock in other areas of their Shabbos experience, right? So you want to know, am I allowed to put my dishwasher that's silent on a Shabbos clock as well? What was the reason to say no? Why should it be different than the lights? Why should it be different than anything else? The answer is because this makes noise. A dishwasher is going to make noise. So that shouldn't be the same as anything else. That shouldn't be the same as the lights. However, if you have a silent dishwasher, you really bypass the issue. And that would be a very major kula today. That would be a very major kula today if you have a silent dishwasher that potentially you can set it on a Shabbos clock, you can fill the whole thing up, and let it go. That's a very big kula. Yeah.
But the fact that you're filling the dishwasher and like you're participating in the actual frame doesn't make a difference there. I think with an alarm clock, I set it before Shabbos and I don't do anything to it whatsoever on Shabbos. But even with a silent dishwasher, would it make a difference that you're putting stuff in on Shabbos?
So that's a good question.